Our fifth annual Allen Ginsberg Memorial Open Mic Poetry Marathon, April 2002, is now history and is our custom here at the Northwest Spoken Word Lab. Our last official duty is to interview the visiting poet. In this case, Eileen Miles, born in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1949, educated in Catholic schools, and graduated from University of Massachusetts in Boston in 1971. She moved to New York in 1974 to be a poet, her bio says. Gave her first reading at CBGB's and then gravitated to St. Mark's Church, where she studied with Paul Violi, Alice Notley, and Ted Berrigan. She's edited poetry magazines. She ran the St. Mark's Poetry Project from 1984 to 1986. She ran for president in 1992, and she has several books of poetry out, including her latest on Black Sparrow Press, which is entitled Skies. And she also has a book on a smaller press entitled On My Way, and that's on Faux Press. It's our pleasure to welcome Eileen Miles to the program.
Hey, Paul.
It's so nice to have you here. What a great weekend it was.
It was really good. It was really good. I love Auburn.
And we need to talk about, you know, maybe we should talk about that right off the bat.
Okay.
Because, we work hard to get the publicity out, and someone called before our publicity really got out. And I'm like, well, and, you know, they're like real excited, Eileen Miles. And you know, you have sort of a following in the lesbian community, obviously. And I'm like, well, how did you find out about this? And she's like, well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I was on the panel for a grant that you submitted. So I read that. Well, I'm like, well, what about the grant? She says, well, you know, we haven't decided yet. It really wouldn't be appropriate for me to say. And I'm like, I'm cool with that. Well, this person comes and comes to the workshop, which was 2 to 5 the day of the marathon. Mm-hmm. And then the marathon starts at 8. So there's a 3-hour break. So the visiting poet can go out and get some dinner and take it easy. And people can hang out in Auburn, maybe go have a nice meal or do something. And this person's like, well, 3 hours in Auburn, please. Mm. You know, making fun of Auburn, which is kind of funny because Seattle really is a bigger town, but a very similar mentality when it comes down to it. And it's like people don't realize the beauty of putting on a tribute to Allen Ginsberg in a small, traditional American town to honor this man. I mean, to do it in Seattle, as I was saying at the marathon last night, it's like, you're kind of preaching to the choir. It's not a big deal. But to do it in Auburn, to say we're going to honor this man who was a very, very out, I mean as out as you can be, gay person in America, and to do it in this kind of town would seem to me that's where the work to really bring equality to gays and lesbians needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Well, sure. I mean, it's sort of like we are everywhere, so to act like we're not. And actually, that was one of the things I was impressed by the marathon last night, because in a small room, you know, there were some local queers, you know, these kids, you know, as a girl who got up, and I was like, whoa, she's a dyke, you know, and I didn't expect it, but why was that? That was my own sort of, you know, big city prejudice that, you know, even though I know we are everywhere, I always think we're running from everywhere towards, you know, New York, San Francisco and stuff. So I was impressed by the diversity of Auburn.
And, you know, to have you come in into the high school class, where in a traditional town these kind of subjects aren't really talked about, they're really closeted, is a beautiful thing, because you know there's a couple of kids in the class who, if not out and out queer, they're considering or experimenting or thinking about it or questioning, certainly.
Just gender issues, period. You know, there's a right way for a girl to be, a right way for a boy to be. It's sort of like that's all pretty slidey inside of kids' heads, and it's true. I think it's great for adults to walk in and say, not only is it slidey, you can go someplace different, you know.
Yeah, and the way you handled it, too, and not only handled that issue, but handled the kids in the class who were talking was an amazing sort of ease and grace and elegance that was very impressive.
Thank you, Paul.
And that I think resonates obviously through your whole work, your whole being, your whole person, and it's impressive and it's refreshing. Mm-hmm. You went to New York City to be a poet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I had a little I think the last job I had in Boston was at a publishing company, and I had written poems since I was a kid, but I had at this job, which was just, you know, a crummy office job, I had a typewriter in front of me all day long, and so I would write poems on my typewriter all day long at work. It was great. It was a great poet job. But one day I wrote a poem. at work, and it was a good one. And I looked at the palm, and I had this like amazing, I mean, I had a spiritual experience. I looked at the palm, and I thought, oh, this is real, and the job is not, you know? And it was kind of like this sort of flip-flop where the context became really the background, and the real context became the palm. And then, I mean, I was going to New York to be in graduate school, and I lasted for about 10 seconds. But the point was, it got me, you know, graduate school got me to New York. And then, you know, the East Village at that moment in the 70s was like an explosion of, you know, Patti Smith was just starting to perform out, and there was a real poetry rock moment that was incredibly exciting, and it was like, who would want to bother being in graduate school, you know? And I just stayed and just went out and read.
Yeah, do you remember the poem that gave you that spiritual experience?
Yeah. I mean, it's not one I read, and it's not one I've published either. But it's kind of, you know, it's there.
What's the title of it?
I think it's called Swan Song.
Right on. And then you go to New York City, and it's Patti Smith, and of course that was punk was really, really happening. I mean, there was the beginning of it, or just before the beginning of it, actually.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was like when I read at CBGB's, it was sort of like there were these weird bands playing too, you know.
And these weird bands are Talking Heads and uh-huh. Television and bands like that.
Yeah.
Ramones. And,
right. Yeah. Blondie,
yeah, Debra Harry. And Allen Ginsberg was living there too.
Yeah, and I met Allen when I was 25. I went to the New Yorker Poets Cafe, and at that time it was sort of like it was a little gay connection, because Burroughs and Ginsberg and whoever else, you know, liked the young Puerto Rican boys who hung out at the New Yorker Cafe. So they were right. We assumed they were all there to hear us, you know. But in fact, it was the boys. But nonetheless, Alan heard me read a poem, and he just came running up to me and was like, "Who are you?" and stuff, and connected. And in his weird Alan way, of course, he didn't know what to do with me. It was clear that this girl was sort of boyish, and that maybe, and I think he quickly figured out that I was queer. But that didn't stop him from trying to fix me up with his boyfriend, you know, because Alan was just a tribal sort, and it was sort of like, "Here's a girl. I don't know what to do with her, so I'll fix her up with Peter." You know, and he even walked up to me at a reading at St. Mark's Church a week or two later, and I was standing there with a circle of poets. We were all, you know, young people in their 20s, and me and the guys, basically, and Alan walked up and bowed very politely and said, Peter Olofsky would like to take you on a date. May he call you? It was like, it was so old world. He was inviting me on a date. It was like an arranged date with me and his boyfriend. And I actually would have gone because I just didn't know what to do with a date with Peter, you know, with Allen Ginsberg's boyfriend, except to go on it. And then, you know, but in fact, it never happened. And, you know, but Allen was very quick to, you know, he liked me and was very open and was trying to do what he knew to do with me. Though he did, he hooked me up with Ferlinghetti too, and got me published in City Lights, which I thought was just the beginning of everything. And, you know, kind of was, and it kind of wasn't.
Yeah. It's like, all right, now you're published. It's 5 years before anything happens after that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Poetry career is not a career.